ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 17 as we're just continuing our in-depth study of the book of Judges. And as I said last time, these last five chapters of Judges are not necessarily in chronological order, but kind of more of an appendix as they are filling in some of the information that occurred during this period of time, the period of the Judges. And we've seen that things are a mess. And they're a mess because basically it's just one reason why things were such a mess. And because of that one reason, this was then manifested in many immoral and wicked ways. It's what we're told in Judges 17:6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And let's face it, anyone who's left to do their own thing is headed for disaster. Because apart from the Lord guiding and directing our lives are a disaster because we're going to do whatever we want, what the flesh desires. And it doesn't matter who may try to stop us, we're going to do it anyway. And think about it. We've all done that before. I'm going to do this. And then we reap what we've sown. There are consequences to our actions. And we don't think about that. I mean, when I was a kid, I was probably 8, 9 years old, maybe 10, I don't know. By our house, there was a farm. And they made pumpkins. No, they grew pumpkins. You can tell what a farmer I am. They grew pumpkins there. And my friends and I decided, we're going to go get some pumpkins. And, you know, look at my size now. Could you imagine me at 9 or 10? I was really on the lower end of every scale you could imagine. And so I'm getting this pumpkin. And of course, because of my massive size, I wanted a massive pumpkin. And I'm grabbing this pumpkin that is huge. And my friend goes, Joe, we got to get out of here. The farmer's coming. I said, I almost have it. And as I'm trying to grab it, I see two shoes right below me. And I look up, and it's the farmer. And he's got, it's probably a salt pellet gun, but whatever. Oh my gosh, I'm dead. Now, I watched a lot of movies when I was a kid. And the only thing I could think of, this guy's got a gun, he's going to kill me. So, serpentine. I'm going back and forth through the farmer's field. And I was running so fast, kind of like the Flash, that my shoes flew off my feet. Now my shoes are in the farmer's pumpkin patch. Great. And I have to tell my parents, I lost my shoes while I was stealing pumpkins. There are consequences for our actions. And we don't realize that. If we listen to God, if he is king in our life, we're going to do what's right because we've surrendered to him. But if not, there is trouble. And really, that's what we see here in Judges. And these last five chapters are going to kind of get uglier and uglier until we get the end of the book. And then kind of an exclamation point. In those days, there was no king in Israel. This is at the end now. And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Yep, there it is. There's really the whole idea of Judges. God was not on the throne of their lives. And I've broken Judges chapter 17 and 18 down into three main points. Confusion in the home in Judges 17, 1 through 5. Confusion in the church, Judges 17, verses 6 through 13. And then lastly, confusion in society and government in Judges 18, 1 through 31. And for most people, they don't think this is such a big deal, but I think it's a huge deal. You see, these three institutions, the family or the home, the church and government, are institutions that God has ordained in his word. And so if you want to destroy a people, if you want to destroy a nation, you destroy the institutions that govern the people of God. And isn't that what we see here happening in the book of Judges? And isn't that what we see happening in America today? The destruction of the family, destruction of the church, and the destruction of government. We began looking at this last week in our study, Confusion in the Home, and we saw how this man from the mountains of Ephraim stole 1,100 shekels of silver from his mom. A lot of money. And after some time, the mom, recognizes this. She finds out someone's stolen it. She puts a curse on the person who stole this money from her. And the son kind of feels guilty now. And so he confesses, look, Mom, I stole the 1,100 shekels. And her response is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. She said to her son, may you be blessed by the Lord. May you be blessed by Yahweh, my son. There's no discipline, no consequences for a sin, for stealing. And a blessing, and not just a blessing, but a blessing from Almighty God. She's asking for her son. And then it even gets worse. With some of this money that was returned, she dedicates this money to the Lord for her son and has a carved image and a molded image made for him. She brought idolatry into the home. You see, God has instituted the family unit, a father, a mother, children. Satan's come in and destroyed the family unit to the point where we don't even know what a family is anymore. The parents aren't in control. The children tend to be. Things are out of order. And when that happens, you see children becoming disrespectful to parents, to those who are in authority, because the order that God has established for the family has been destroyed. Marriages fall apart because the Lord's out of the picture, and it's always, what's right for me? Warren Wiersbe put it like this, and he really drives home this point on the destruction of the family, and he wrote this, because Micah and his family didn't submit to the authority of God's word, their home was a place of religious and moral confusion. But their home was a good deal like many homes today, where money is the god the family worships, where children steal from their parents and lie about what they do, where family honor is unknown, and where the true God is unwanted. Television provides all the images the family will ever want to worship, and a few worry about thus says the Lord. I recall hearing Vance Havner say, we shouldn't worry because the government won't allow children to have Bibles in school. They'll get free Bibles when they go to prison. But today our prisons are so crowded that the government doesn't know what to do. If every family would make Christ the head of the home, we could stop some of the nation's crime right at the source. Godly homes are the foundation for a just and happy society. Absolutely. I agree with what he had to say. We need to bring Christ back into our homes because as he leads the family, they're going to be moving in the right direction. Not a perfect family. Not that they won't have any problems because we all have our own free will, but if we truly surrender to God, we're going to see the blessings that God has for the institution of the family. But again, that's not what we see here in Judges, and thus confusion in the home. This morning, we're going to look at another institution that God has established and Satan is attacking, and that's the church. In our study, I've called Confusion in the Church. And I'll share this article with you. This is from April 12, 1968, almost 52 years ago. And listen to what we're told. We are confronted today by a strange spectacle. Those who presume to provide spiritual leadership, those whom we might hope the Holy Spirit has made overseers to feed the church of God, appear to be more confused and uncertain than those whom they are to lead. There remain, of course, many leaders who firmly distinguish right from wrong and separate truth from error. But the general confusion seems so deep and so widespread that laymen who are hungry at heart often cannot perceive which leaders are faithful to the truth. In their discouragement, they try not to be greatly concerned. Life already presents enough burdensome complexities. And as a consequence, men drift into agnosticism and indifference. Millions simply do not try to determine who is right and who is wrong. Often they conclude that no one really knows. Something is drastically wrong in the church. When we read of the religious dilemma of the paradox of the church, men do not hesitate to assert that the institutional church is impotent, dead, or dying. How true it is that few churches show anything very desirable about the Christian life. As an active and dedicated churchman, writes Keith Miller, I had seen from the inside that to call the Christ of the New Testament Lord of the average congregation's contemporary activity in any true sense was preposterous. He's honest and he's right. Now, here we are, some 52 years after that article was written, and I think things have gotten a lot much worse in the church. There's much confusion. What's right? What's wrong? And many don't know, and some don't even care. They don't even see it as a problem. And when it's brought up, you're a troublemaker. Now, I've broken these verses we're going to look at this morning into four main points, and they're in your bulletin again. But the problem in Judges 17:6, a wandering heart in Judges 17, verses 7 through 8, a deal he couldn't refuse in Judges 17, verses 9 through 10, and doing what is right in their own eyes, Judges 17, verses 11 through 13. So let's pick up in Judges chapter 17, beginning in verse 6, as we look at confusion in the church. And we're told this. Again, this verse we've already spoken of. But in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Why is there all the confusion? Well, right here we know. There's no king, no one to lead them. They didn't want God. And thus they did what was right in their own eyes. And that's never a good thing. Why is this so bad? Because the Bible tells us the heart of man is evil, it's wicked. And he's going to do whatever he wants. And it's amazing the depravity of man, what he will do. And once you start to travel down that path, your flesh will never, ever be satisfied. You will always keep going down that path. You will keep wanting more and more as you move farther and farther away from God and into the depravity. I mean, we saw how messed up the home life was because of how much confusion, because they didn't know what was right or wrong because they took God out of the picture. And now in all places we see this, or we're going to see it as we read on, the church. And the devil is really brilliant here because the church is to be a light in this world. We are to be the pillar, the foundation of the truth, right? And yet when you hide that light, when you take away that truth, you're in trouble. You know, the devil has brought his doctrines of demons into the light of the church, or into the home of the church, I should say, and the church is not that preserving force anymore. We don't know, again, what's right or wrong. I think about the emerging church and what they're doing. They're worshiping God the way they want, through experience, and they've taken God's word away because you really can't know what it means. Words have no meanings. I mean, I don't know if you heard that before, but that's exactly what they're saying. That's in their writings. Words have no meanings. And you know what's fascinating to me, and it's almost humorous if it wasn't so sad? They write all kinds of books and do all kinds of videos telling us words have no meanings. And they use words. Go figure. So I'm supposed to listen to the words of a man who tells me the word of God has no real meaning to it. We can't understand all those words, but I can understand your words? I don't think so. I don't think so, but many are. And what happens is it brings anarchy inside the church, and it brings anarchy in this world. Now, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. We have to remember that, how important that is. I'll give you an example. This is a psychological teaching that came into the church. And tell me if it's right or wrong. Just listen. We're not sheep, but we're giraffes. And we can look above and see what is before us. It sounds great, right? We have a view of everything that is before us as we go through life. We can clearly see that as we're a giraffe. Now, again, I've never been called a giraffe with my height. I've never really been asked to join a basketball team with my height. Just the way it is. And yet, here is a teaching that has been brought right into the church. Promote it. What does the Bible say? Well, I think the Bible's really clear. We're not giraffes. We're sheep. You see how simple that is? I mean, this is not complicated. This is not some really deep theological teaching. We're sheep. Over and over again, we see it in the Bible. Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. How wonderful that is. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We can't make us into something that we're not. We're sheep. And there's obviously many, many more passages that speak of us being sheep. And the Lord is our shepherd. Have you ever seen a shepherd for giraffes? No? Then why are we listening to this teaching? Because then you have no shepherd. You are the leader. You are looking at life and seeing everything that you want to see and knowing the directions you're going to go in. You don't need a shepherd to lead you. I'm just going to be blunt here. Sheep are stupid. And thus we need a shepherd. And I'm so thankful we have the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, who will lead us. Do you see how simple this is? And because this is new, the church rejoices in it. We're not giraffes. I mean, think about it. How tall do you need to be to see everything that's going to happen in your life? I don't care if you're a 500-foot giraffe or not. You're not going to know everything. You know who does? My shepherd. And he will lead me to where I need to go. And I'll tell you what, and I'll just be honest with you. I don't always like to go where he's leading me because it's difficult. But I know he's doing it for a reason, and I'm going to follow him. I think this is so important in the days we're living in. Who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the words of men, or are you going to follow the words of God? Are you going to let your heart guide you, or are you going to let God guide you in the right direction? In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, we're told, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Here's David's heart's cry. He wants God to search his heart, to take away any wickedness in him. Why? So he doesn't go astray. He wants the Lord to lead him into everlasting life, and he knows that his heart's not going to do it. But the Lord can, and he does, and we have to listen and obey. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 is the same thought. As Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." You know how true that is. You know, sometimes I look at a situation and I misread it. I don't get it right. But the Lord does, and that's why I bring it before him. I want to be directed by him. I want to be guided by him. You know, we have our GPS systems. We also have our God positioning satellite. It's called the Word of God opened up to us by the Spirit of God, and he wants us to listen and obey so he can direct us. Proverbs 4, 25 through 27, "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." Isn't it easy how quickly we're distracted, right? Oh, what's going on over here? Over here, right? The Lord says, no. Look straight ahead. Look at him, right? Don't be distracted by all these things. And I'll tell you what, with all the stuff that is out on, you know, the internet and social media and all the videos and all the writings, if everything stopped right now, you still couldn't read and watch all those things that are out there. God says, I want you to look at me. Why? Because he's truth. Is there truth out in social media? Sure. Are there lies out there in social media? Sure. How do I know what's right? That's a good question. I guarantee you, no matter what position you take on any issue, you will be able to find that you're right on social media, even if you're wrong. I want to know what God has to say, because he's 100% correct. And you know what? I'm not going to waste my time spending hours and hours searching something out and finding out, oh, that was wrong. When I read God's word, it's 100% right. And look at all those things that are competing for our attention in life, drawing us away from what we should be doing. You know, another path this way, another distraction that way. instead of following our shepherd, Jesus Christ. Don't be distracted. Well, what if we're not sure what to do, where to go? Well, David said in Psalm 31:3, "For you are my rock and my fortress, therefore for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." He's just asking God, you know what? I don't know where to go, Lord. Can you lead me and guide me in the direction? You think God's going to say, "Sorry, not this time"? No. Of course he's going to guide us. Sometimes, yes, we have to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes it's not an instantaneous answer or direction. But don't rush ahead of the Lord because you get yourself into trouble. Let the Lord lead us and guide us on this journey of faith that we're on. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you." I mean, that's pretty simple. Again, keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't be distracted by these other things. Be in the Word and let the Holy Spirit guide you. Now, when we don't listen to the Lord as Christians, the Lord says, you know what? I'm going to have to inflict a little pain like a bridle does on a horse to get them to move in the right direction. I don't want to do that, the Lord says, but sometimes I'm going to have to because you're not listening to me. You're not looking at me. And I can't direct you then unless I inflict a little pain. I remember when my grandkids were growing up and my son Tony, you know, he was in the military, so he's pretty strict. And what he would tell his kids, because they get distracted really easy when he's trying to talk with them, "Look at me. Look at me." I thought that was awesome because that's what the Lord's saying, right? "Look at me. Look at what I'm saying to you through my word. Be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is showing you because God knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. And he is leading us as he molds and shapes us into the men and women he wants us to be. Are we going to be a giraffe doing our own thing, or are we going to be sheep that are guided by our shepherd, Jesus Christ? And here's the thing, the choice is ours. But you know what? I'm going to follow the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Psalm 23, again, shows us this. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Lord is our shepherd. We need to follow him. Sheep get lost really easy. They start wandering off, and other sheep follow the one who's going nowhere. Sometimes they fall on their side, and they can't get up, and their bellies start to swell, and they'll die unless the shepherd comes and lifts them up. Here's the thing. If you want direction and correct direction, you need to go to the Lord. If you don't, then do whatever you want. But again, there'll be confusion and misdirection, and it's not going to be good. A lot of people have this mentality, Christians and non-Christians, follow your own heart, or let your heart be your guide. That's not what God says. He said, let me be your guide. I'll give you a few examples to show you that it's not right to do what you think is right in your own eyes. It seemed right to the eyes of Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. God said it was wrong. It seemed right to the eyes of the sons of Jacob to sell Joseph into slavery. And God said it was wrong. It seemed right in the eyes of Nadab and Abihu to offer strange fire before the Lord. And God said that was wrong. It seemed right to the eyes of King David to commit adultery with Bathsheba and cover it with murder. And God said it was wrong. It seemed right to the eyes of Judas to betray Jesus. And God said it was wrong. You see, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And I don't care how smart we may think we are, how wise we think we are, when man follows his own instincts, it leads to ruin. We need to follow God's way, not our own. I mean, all you have to do is read the book of Revelation and see how men are going to follow their own heart's desire, do their own thing, thinking that they are going to be able to fight against God and win. How does that turn out for them? Oh, it doesn't. Not good. They are eternally separated from God. That's an important lesson for us to understand. See, the problem in Judges, the problem in our nation, the problem in the church, in those days there was no king in Israel and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And out of that, we're going to look at another person that comes into the picture here.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.